Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
So I'm George Demet. I'm the founder and co-owner of Palantir.net. We're a web development shop, Drupal development shop based in Chicago. And so, yeah, I just came from doing leading a little panel presentation on a case study for the foreignaffairs.com website.
Okay, and so talk a bit about like what was your experience in terms of like the process and the challenges in terms of developing this Drupal website.
Sure, absolutely. So Foreign Affairs is actually it's a bi-monthly scholarly journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. So the idea is that they have articles by political figures, statesmen, academics, etc., on important issues relating to U.S. foreign policy, international relations. As a print publication, it's been around for something like 85 years. They've had a web presence. They came to us to overhaul their website and to bring it into Drupal. So we worked on that project the fall of last year, beginning of this year. The design collaborator that we worked with, design partner on that project, was Concentric Studio out of New York. So they provided the wireframe style guide, the design for the project, and we were the team responsible for the Drupal development and implementation.
Okay, and so what were some of the big requirements that they had, which either the functionality didn't exist in Drupal where you had to develop it, or what are some of the new things that come out of this project?
Right, so there were actually a lot of items, and so first of all, they had about 60 years worth of existing kind of back issue legacy data that needed to be imported into the new site. They provided to us an XML format. We had to develop a system that would import that information, would flag if there were any problems with the data they were providing. And then once we imported that in the system, the information architecture of the site needed to be very easy to navigate across kind of multiple different paths. So by regional area, by issue date, by topic, and all of those had to be accommodated within the site. Then they had about 150,000 subscribers coming in from a couple of different sources. So we had to basically integrate those and allow the Drupal site to authenticate against those different groups of subscribers. Plus, we had to build in a system for anonymous users who were coming from institutions with site licenses to be able to view content without having to log in. Other big thing we did was visitors need to be able to subscription management, purchase PDF reprints of back issues, again, all through that Drupal interface, which involved, you know, integration and everything. They had multiple analytics and advertising systems that needed to be integrated, as well as their search. And then kind of the last but not least was development of the deployment system. So they had requirements where they had a staging server because they didn't want editors and content creators, except for the users who were posting comments, of course, to be posting information on the live site. So the idea was that the editors and the content contributors would post their material on the staging site, that we would be able to sync that with the live site when they were ready to publish it or on a predetermined schedule, and that they would also be able to sync comments that users have made back to the staging server. In some cases, they have folks there at the journal who are responding to comments that are made. They're doing that on the staging server, and then they're syncing that back up with the live environment. So that was a very big component. There were, in terms of what got contributed back to Drupal, there were a number of items. There was some Views patches. There obviously was that large deployment framework, which Greg Dunlap, or Hayrocker, that was pretty much what he did on the project. And so we're really proud of that work. We think it's a really great addition to Drupal.
Great. And so talk a bit about your team is sort of centralized in some point, but also distributed. So maybe talk about, you know, how many people you have and where they're at, and how you sort of work together.
Sure. So we're actually, we're 17 folks. Palantir's based in Chicago, but we do have some folks who are based kind of around the country. Ken Rickard, who is actually the development lead on the project, he's based out of Augusta, Georgia. Greg Dunlap is in Seattle. You know, we have other folks. We have Matt Farina in Michigan, and John Wilkins, who spends a lot of time in Taiwan as well. So I would say we're probably between a half and two-thirds out of the Chicago office, and then the rest of us are around the world, really. For this project, the primary team that we had working on it was Ken Rickard, Greg Dunlap, Matt Butcher, who's out of our Chicago office, did all of that authentication work. The themer on the project was Greg LaRue, who's out of our Chicago office. And then we also have folks like Sam Boyer, did some of the performance testing and analysis. And of course, Larry Garfield and Colleen Carroll, who lead our programming team and our kind of theme development team, respectively, of course, were also involved, as well as, you know, our project manager, Tiffany Ferris, who provided kind of overall strategy, client coordination, that sort of thing. So it really was, kind of every project we do is kind of an all-team effort. Everyone, you know, even if they're not heavily involved in the project, usually ends up playing a part at some point or another.
And so I think an interesting thing about Palantir is that you haven't always been a Drupal shop. You kind of got evangelized and converted by, Larry Garfield. Or maybe you could talk a bit about the story of what actually happened.
So it actually, it wasn't just Larry. So we've been around since 96. We've, been developing websites for a very long time. We had a custom content management system that we developed in-house. And Larry was involved with that as well. And we also worked with a number of different kind of, you know, proprietary, what, you know, you may call enterprise-level CMSs as well. Essentially, we called ourselves CMS agnostic. About 3 years ago, we had a project with Washington University in St. Louis where they were looking to adopt a new content management platform for their site. And so they asked us to go around and basically do a survey of some of the leading products to take a look at their capabilities, pros and cons, weigh them against each other, weigh them against our own system as well. And coming into that, and obviously, Larry had already been involved in the Drupal community, and he provided us with a lot of great information, but really what it came down at the end was that for that particular job, Drupal was absolutely the best fit. And after we did that job, we realized that Drupal was actually a really great fit for just about all of the sites that we build because of its flexibility and functionality as a platform. You know, we like to, you know, to do things that we haven't done before. And so Drupal really affords us that capability while at the same time providing a stable platform environment that we can build upon and that we can share. We can be part of a community, so we can share our work with other folks. We can, you know, collaborate with other folks and really make beautiful websites, really functional websites, and they keep getting better with time.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.